Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Liz has an announcement.
Good morning, everybody. Since the dinner theater had to be canceled, and then last week we found out we have 8 children that are interested in going to camp this year, Christina and I were talking, and we thought that we would put on a dinner and a variety show on the day of May 1st. Now, Christina is extremely talented, and I'm extremely an attention hog, but we can't entertain everybody by ourselves for an hour. So we need your help. We're looking for persons who are interested in singing or dancing or doing a trick or something like that to participate in this dinner or this cabaret that we want to have. So if you are interested and have a talent you'd like to share, will you please let one of us know within the next week or so we can begin putting together an order of events. So thank you.
Okay, and we have up to 8 kids that might be interested in going to camp this year. Camp's $300 apiece. So we're going to have to raise a little money to help out. You know, so let's get that in our minds, and this is one of the ways we can do that. The flowers are given by Ruth in honor of her birthday yesterday. And we have birthday people who are not here, Shirley Potts and April Fuller. The Easter flowers in memory or honor of someone or some event are $10. See Doris today, if you're interested in those. We are also having a congregational heritage class. It's going to be 3-4 weeks. It's going to start on the 18th of April, not the 11th of April. Your bulletin says the 11th, but it's going to start the 18th after church. Liz is going to teach it. It should be really, really good. Also, we are collecting things for our military service personnel, and there's a list of things in your bulletin that you can bring in. We'll be boxing those up and shipping those out. And thank you to everyone that participated with our digital sound system. We have phases 1 and 2 all paid for. It's really good. Thank you very much. And we're going to hear in our joys and concerns how it's actually working. This is good. Not from Kim, though. Don't worry, Kim. That was not you. So we have coffee hour after church. Monday, Thursday is Thursday. Soup supper starts at 6:15 with the service following at 7. If you haven't been to that for a while, you might want to come out to that Thursday night. It's really good. We have a good time. And then there's a community Good Friday service at noon at St. Paul's Episcopal downtown. We don't have a Good Friday service here. That's a community service. Easter Sunday, of course, next week. Bring friends and relatives and non-friends. That'd be okay. And then again, the Congregational Heritage class, the 18th, not the 11th. And there's other things in there. Yes, ma'am.
Whoever ordered the meal on
fire
today, so after church, meet me
up in the social hall. Okay. Let's enter into worship. Thank you.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship, reading responsively. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. In your majesty, ride on victoriously. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. With the oil of joy above your fellows. Therefore, the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. Please join in our opening prayer. The life you give us in Christ is so very real, God. Who are we to receive such goodness? Empower us with your Spirit. Thank you for this life you freely give. Thank you for your daily goodness. Thank you for your healing presence. Thank you, Father God, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for your life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power. We open ourselves to you anew today. Live now in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first reading, as you probably notice, is from 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 through 21. It was told to King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place, inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord."
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Have a seat. Maggie's grabbing the palms. Today, Marissa, did you guys want to come up? Have a seat. I know these robes are warm, aren't they? Wasn't Dominic great there? Did you all hear him when he was soloing there? So Morgan and Maggie had each other for support, but Dominic hung out there all by himself with Kim, so that was pretty good. So today is Palm Sunday. And, you know, as the years go by, we talk about it, but it's something that only happens once a year. And, of course, this is the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Stand over here. On a donkey. And it was the highlight of his life. He was being cheered and praised by the multitudes. And they lined up by the side of the road. And they yelled and they shouted and they screamed his name. It was just like, you know, today when we have our sports teams win, you know, how thousands of people are able to go down there and stand and scream. Well, but it's even more rare in this time because there's no TV news to tell them, hey, Jesus is coming to your town Friday night. Be there, right? Tickets go on sale. There's none of that, right? So there's no communication. There's no method. The word spread from house to house and people running ahead to tell the people the next time, he's coming, he's coming. And they left what they were doing and they ran out to the road and they lined up and they waited in the hot sun, waited and waited until this man came riding by on a donkey. And probably most of them really didn't even know why they were there. But they had heard that he was the Messiah that was promised. Now here we are a couple thousand years later. We don't know when that Messiah is coming again. God has promised us he will, but we don't know. So the chances are in our lifetime, we will never be lining a road waiting to see the new Messiah coming. So we take this day as a remembrance, an opportunity to try to experience what those people felt, what Jesus might have felt as he rode in, being the happiest of his life, but knowing that the dark times were coming. So I'm going to have you pass out the palms that we use for remembrance. The people would wave them and shout Hosanna as he came. And I want you to pass them out to the people in the audience, if you all can grab some. And then I think we'll have our prayer downstairs today, if that's okay. So we're just going to go ahead and pass them out. And I'd like you all, when you hold them, to remember that this is a day of celebration and love.
Wasn't it great to see the kids singing with the adult choirs, the two choirs combined? That was good. Very good. A lot to celebrate. Don't miss anybody. There we go. Organized chaos. Okay, while they are finishing that up, celebration. The offering ought to be a time of celebration. It should. Thank God we get a chance to give back to him a little bit of all that he has given to us. Ever just stopped and thought how God has blessed us in your own life, just gone through your life, just the everyday normal things that we just kind of don't think about? You know, I mean, when I get up in the morning, turn the coffee pot on, there's coffee. I don't remember the last time I prayed, dear Lord, I need coffee in the morning, please have some coffee ready for me. I just get up, half awake, hit the button. Most days of the week, I don't have to do that because Barb gets up before I do it. I got coffee already made before I get there. Just the little things in life. Celebrating. Being thankful what God has given to us. And as we're giving unto the Lord, giving with thankfulness. The Bible says he was kind to the poor, lends to the Lord, and God will reward him for what he has done. God keeps track. God keeps track. He notices. Nothing that we do for other people goes unnoticed by Him. So I invite you to worship God with your giving this morning.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are so good. You take such good care of us. You help us. You bless us. You're always looking over us and providing for us. So this morning we joyfully give back a little bit of what you've given us this week and pray that you will multiply it, that every need of your people will be met, every need of your church will be met, every need in the community can be met that we have a part of. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a week of mixed emotions. I mean, think about it. Celebrating Palm Sunday, here comes the Messiah, the one that's going to set up the kingdom of David. And before the week is over, he's been crucified and buried. What a week. What a week of mixed emotions. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 1. It's our second reading. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it back here." They went and away and found the colt tied at the door outside on the street as they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." What a time of celebration. Time of celebration. Like the days of old that Warren read about, where Jesus was bringing
I lost my thought there. I was looking at something else. You know, when you're talking, you got to be a step or two ahead. And sometimes I forget which step I'm on when I'm looking two steps ahead. When Warren was talking about Jesus or David bringing the ark into Jerusalem, a time of celebration. Time of celebration. This is good. Side note, verse 6. It's amazing throughout the Bible the different things that God asks different people to do. You know, some of them are a little strange, I think. That's what I think. This, not as strange as others, but this is kind of strange. You know, okay, I want you to go across town in the parking lot over at Farm Bureau on West Saginaw. There's going to be a Cadillac sitting there, and I want you to bring it over to me. Now, if anybody says anything, why are you stealing this Cadillac? Just tell them the Lord has need of it, and they'll let you steal it. See, that sounds strange to me. Doesn't that sound strange to you? Do not try this at home. Okay, do not. Do not leave here and say, "Oh, the Lord told me to go get a Cadillac." Well, if he did, then he told you how to finance it to buy it, not steal it. Okay? Yeah. Sometimes. Strange things. But to fulfill prophecy, the Messiah had to be coming into Jerusalem on a colt. And evidently, Jesus and the disciples didn't have one real handy when they were coming into Jerusalem. But Jesus knew where one was, and he sent his disciples. That was my sermon last year on Palm Sunday. You remember that, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew you would. You wouldn't forget any of my sermons, would you? No. No. But if you will do what God tells you to do, please make sure it's God telling you to do it first. See? If you have any questions, come see me. I can help you. Okay? You know, because we just see, all year long, we just see strange things that happen in the name of God. Some people do some weird thing and, you know, somebody usually ends up dead. And they say, "God told me to do it." Okay, come see me first. If it's that tragic, come see me first. Okay, we'll talk this thing out. But in everyday life, sometimes God does do things and say things that are a tad strange. Like in a tough economy, every Sunday morning when you show up, put some money in the plate. Sounds a little strange to me. Tough economy, things are tight, already cutting back here and there. See, how's this going to help? Sometimes. Sometimes, he says, you know, when people are really mean to you, be nice to them. Yeah, the worst thing you can do is be nice to them. That's what it says. Heat burning coals on their head, how nice is that? Overcome evil with good. Pray for those that persecute you. Sounds strange to me. But, just like the disciples found, they spoke to them when they were questioning about untying the colt. They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. Oh, okay, the Lord has need of it. Okay. Not that they actually knew who the Lord was, because that term was used very frequently in Roman culture, the Lord. But somehow they did what Jesus asked them to do, and it turned out just like Jesus said it would. Everything is going to turn out just like Jesus said it will. everything. He knows. And so, if we will follow Him, then things will work out. We'll put money in the offering plate on Sunday morning, and things are tight, I'm cutting back, and I have everything I need. And when people are mean to me, I'm nice to them. And things are better somehow. Because God knows, and that puts God to work in our lives by being obedient to Him. Now to the celebration. Hosanna! Hosanna! Here comes the Messiah. This one we have been waiting for 1,500 years. Take David's place. You know, at this point, David was the best king Israel ever had. I'm not sure that's true, but at this point in these people's minds, that is true. You've noticed that the one that is gone is always better. Have you noticed that? Well, we had a preacher four times back, and he was really good. Now look what we got. Dang, going downhill. Right. You're always better when you're gone. And so David had a really good reign. David is the one that solidified the kingdom of Israel into a kingdom. And then Solomon built on that, and a couple others built on that. And that's what we want. Our Messiah, the promised one. He's going to come, and He's going to kick the Romans out, because we don't like the Romans anyway. And He's going to set up this nation, and everything is going to be great. We aren't going to have any more problems. This is wonderful. And so they're rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. There's thousands of people in Jerusalem at this time for the celebration of the Passover. The Pharisees are in the crowd. They're rejoicing, but yeah, they're faking it as usual. Because they've already been planning. How can we get rid of this guy? Can't do it during the feast because the uneducated people just have an uproar. Judas is in the crowd. How can I make a buck off this guy? Well, that's what Judas was good at, was making a buck. There are people who are just good at making money. There are some. I wish they were my friends. But, there are some people just good at making money. Judas was good at it. Didn't necessarily have any moral convictions, but he was good at it. There are some people in the crowd that actually think Jesus is the Messiah. The disciples, some other ones, they have a kind of a wrong concept of what's going to happen. He's been trying to tell them, we're not setting up the kingdom at this time. See, first I have to come and be a savior for the people. Because the people have a sin problem. Sin has cut them off from their relationship with God. They can't save themselves, so I have to come and be a savior first. And then, somewhere down the line, I'm coming back to set up the whole kingdom thing. And we're in that in-between age now. That's where we are. The church age. And they didn't really get it. Even though they believed in Him, they didn't get it. And like I said last Sunday, up till Monday, Thursday, they were still deciding who was going to be the best. Who's going to be at the right hand of Jesus? Well, I'm the best disciple. I'm the best disciple. I'm the best disciple. They would argue among themselves who was the best disciple. There's some people in the crowd that are just excited. You know, ever seen people that are easily excitable? Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, Michigan State wins. They're easily excitable. Don't really care about Michigan State. Don't know who plays on Michigan State. Don't really know what the basketball is. They're partying in East Lansing. Yeah, I'm there partying, yeah. Okay. Not necessarily the true converts. See, they're probably the same ones that remember a few years back. Hate to bring this up, but a few years back, when it was more than partying and people started going to jail and they were burning cars, that was probably the same people. See, it's probably the same ones here that are going, yay, the Messiah's come on! That Thursday are saying, crucify the bum, crucify the bum. Probably the same people. Easily excited. Just go with the flow. Go with the crowd. Okay, just whatever. Whoever I happen to be hanging around. We call that peer pressure today. Easily excitable. Most of the people don't have a clue what's going to happen this next week. For whatever reason, they just don't have a clue. Because they're looking at things like we do. From a physical point of view. You ever gone over your prayer list lately? I mean your personal one. Say, dear God, I want the following 1,000 things. You know I need that third color TV set. Oh yeah, after Jamie went to college, you know, we got a 2-bedroom house, so we got a TV in the living room, TV in the bedroom, TV in the guest room. And one day we decided, can I tell the story?
Too late now,
I have to tell it. Yeah, one day I decided that our little 13-inch TV set in the guest room wasn't enough. Not that we have guests over, we don't invite nobody over. Okay? But a 13-inch color TV in the guest room is not big enough, so we went out on 20-inch. You know, dear God, got to have that 20-inch TV set. You know, I mean, a couple times a year my mother-in-law comes on and watches it. She messes it up because she don't know how to do the satellite buttons, but, you know, we have to fix it every time she comes down. And the cat goes in there and unplugs the TV set. Yeah, that is true. That is true. You can't make stuff like this up. Yeah, I'll tell you. Our cat goes in and unplugs the TV set in the guest room. Maybe check. See, that's a lot of our prayer life is us. That's not bad. Unless it's only us. But God's looking at things in the long run. See, humanity's problem isn't that we're not educated enough. Heard an ad on TV just the other day. An educated world is a better world. Oh yeah, things are so much better now than they were in the 50s. So much better. Because we're much more educated now than we were in the 50s. Crime is down. Everybody's working. Everybody's got money. We got our own fig tree. Our own garage. A little BMW sitting in it. You know. And you know me. I'm not against education. I am not. But it makes a really poor God. Just like material things. I'm not against material things. I have my fair share of toys, and I have more planned. I do. I do. I have a list. Dear God, you know I need. I have my list. God and I talk about that on a regular basis. But all the toys make a really poor God. They make great toys, but poor gods. And so when God's looking at this, he's saying, no, the problem isn't you don't have King David in Jerusalem. The problem is a sin problem, but I've come to take care of that. I'll take care of that. You don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. And after we got the sin problem out of the way, later on we'll take care of everything else. And that's what he's in the process of doing today. So when we're looking for God to come in. If you haven't read my article in the notes, that's a really good article. I'm not real sure where it came from. I sat down at the computer and this great article came out. I read it. I just read it because I get my notes first. So I read it again. I thought, well, that's a really good article. You're really good. Wow. I'm impressed. You know, it's really good. You'll want to read that. God's looking at things spiritually first, physically second. And so when we're all excited, yeah, Jesus has showed up, doesn't mean it's going to go your way. But if you'll be like the disciples that went after the colt, it'll turn out exactly how it's supposed to turn out. Trusting God, following God, being excited. Being excited is good. Being excited about God's even better. And letting God do His work in us, not trying to get God to do our work in His name. See, there's a difference. But us submitting to God's will, not trying to get God to change His will to fit our lives. And then when push comes to shove, which is a couple days from now, when push comes to shove, we won't be one of them sitting in the crowd saying, yep, He disappointed me, crucified me. Because that's what some of them were saying. He disappointed me, crucified me. And that won't be us. We'll be saying, well, you know, my life has really turned out different than I thought. And how about you? Everybody over 25, has your life turned out different than you thought? If you're under 25, you don't know yet, but yeah, you think you still have control of life. I've been through things I never would have comprehended. Done things I never would have comprehended. And some of them are really cool. And that's what God does. He takes us down His path, if we'll allow Him to. His path. So in all of our celebration, let's not forget. A time comes in the next couple of days where Jesus is in the garden praying. And He's saying, I know you can take this cup from me, however, not my will, but your will be done. And when we're like that, here's what I want, but not my will, your will be done. Boy, if they happen to fit together, bam, Rick's got a new truck sitting in the park driveway. That is on the list. That is on the list. Yeah. Say. But if it doesn't happen to be, that's okay too. Because I actually have an old Oldsmobile that runs really well and gets 32 miles to the gallon. Yeah, my Cutlass gets 32 miles to the gallon. That's a 96. It's running great. Why would you want a new truck? Well, just because, you know, I'm a guy and I like new toys. No other reason necessary. Yeah. But ultimately, is it God's will, my will? Are we willing to submit our will to God's will? Can we celebrate Palm Sunday, the coming King, and then celebrate Easter? Because though it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out, it obviously has worked out Jesus' way. Can I be like that? Joys and concerns. Now, how many people know we have an online prayer ministry? Okay, so I get this email the other day, and I've told our little prayer group, I've said, you know, we're never going to hear from people on the online. I mean, people send in prayer requests, we'll pray for a while and never hear anything. And, okay, I lied. I didn't know I was lying at the time, but I lied. Because Tabitha wrote in about her knees, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a little bit ago, week ago. See? And then she emailed me last night. I'm going to let her tell you what she said.
My niece, who I babysit, came down with a double ear infection last weekend and has had an ear infection for like a month, like ongoing antibiotics and everything. And so they were afraid that she wasn't going to even respond to shots and that she was going to have tubes put in her ear. But she went in for her second shot on Monday, and they said that it had started to clear up, and now she's perfectly fine and happy, and it's amazing. So
it is amazing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. God is amazing.
I'd say. So keep praying, saints.
I've been communicating with Linda Williams, and she's bedridden a lot of the time, but she loves our web. And she appreciates all the prayers and cards and notes and still feels such a part of this church family. And she wanted me to say hello to everybody. And as soon as she's well, she's coming back.
All right. All right. So, good things are happening. Good things are happening. Other joys and concerns. Okay. Roger, welcome back. So, Peggy, welcome back. I looked back there and thought, oh, good, we got a visitor. Been so long since we've seen her, but no, I do recognize her. Okay. Welcome back. So, I know Linda's happy you're back. I know that. Okay, we have a lot going on this week. Be involved, if you want to. Be involved. It's going to be a good week, an emotional week. But a week that we can kind of identify a little bit of what Jesus went through and what the disciples went through and what happened 2,000 years ago to get us where we are today. And it's going to be a good week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are so good. And we're sure glad that not only did you come to Jerusalem, but you come into our lives, you come into our church. And so we rejoice and celebrate and thank you that you're here. And do want to be disciples, not someone who has a genie, not someone that can con you into doing things for us. We actually want to be followers of you because your path is the path we need to be on. And our head knows that. We don't always, our heart doesn't always know that, but our head knows that. And we just want to follow you, be these people, this church that you would have us to be at this stage of our existence, so that Jesus can be glorified in us and through us. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Tabitha shared what happened with her niece. There's others, prayer things that we have prayed about, prayer requests, and you have touched and healed and encouraged. There's other requests that we have that have yet to be answered, but we know they're going to, as you intercede and bring things to pass according to your perfect will in those people's lives. Minister to them through your Spirit. Help them. You know exactly what they need. We only know what we can see. And so we do pray that you will touch and heal and encourage and comfort and strengthen and help and whatever that these people need. Thank you for giving us a part of this by allowing us to pray for these people. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you that you're a God who not only wants to hear and answer prayer, you're a God who wants an intimate relationship with his people and have made that available to us. And then you taught us how to communicate with you through what we call prayer. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn.
May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.